pray and hope that you received a blessing from the preaching and the reading of the Word of God. You know, that's what it's all about, my friends. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. And I praise the Lord that that we could all come together at such a time as this. We're living in the last days, and we can see that the Lord is at work, but also the devil is at work. And we are experiencing each and every day the great controversy. This morning, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I think the sermon will be preached from right behind that screen there in that baptismal tank. But I do want to just share a devotional thought with you this morning. I travel all over the place wherever the Lord leads me to preach the gospel. And I work for one of the most amazing ministries in all the world. Notice how I said most amazing ministries. Amazing facts. And it's been a wonderful journey. It's been wonderful to share the gospel and to travel around and to meet all of God's people and to share the gospel. But you know, when you just kind of step back and you look at what are these evangelistic series all about? Why do we hold these evangelistic series? What are we trying to communicate? What's the big picture? If you could just paint a picture of what the message is that we are trying to communicate from night one all the way through to the end, what is it that we're trying to get out of this? What is it that Christ is trying to share with us? There are many answers, many right answers. But you know, me personally, I try my best to communicate to everyone that we need to be more like Jesus. We want to introduce ourselves. We want to come into more of in depth and more personal relationship with Jesus. And in the process, He's shaping and He's molding us into that perfect vessel of honor so that we can be effective witnesses for Him, that we can be just like Him. I remember growing up when I was just a child. I'll never forget it. I would often turn the television on, and of course, at that age, you know, most kids are looking for cartoons or whatnot. And this was years ago. I was raised in a Christian home, but at this particular time, you know, the Lord still had a lot of work to do on me and my family. And I was flipping through the channels one day. I think I might have been 7 years old. And I'm flipping through. Of course, I'm looking for Batman and Ninja Turtles and all this other stuff on television that I probably shouldn't be watching. But I remember one day I flipped through the television and I caught a basketball game. I'd seen this often, especially during the basketball season. There are at least three or four or five or multiple channels with basketball games on it. And I turned on the television one day, and I couldn't help but watch this one player. I'd heard his name all over the television at school and whatnot. Michael Jordan. And as I began to watch this guy, I mean, it just fascinated me. At 7 years old, I thought to myself, "Wow, this is the great Michael Jordan." Every time I would flip through, I would try to find a game with Michael Jordan, because he was the best in the world, okay? And he was just fascinating. I mean, as I would watch him, I mean, he was out there, it was like a grown man playing with little kids. I mean, he just crossed them over, and he would shoot with such finesse and just such ease, and it was nothing for him to score against his defenders. And it just fascinated me, because I remember my dad bought myself and my brother a basketball goal at a young age, and I never just really got it. I didn't really understand the game that well, but I remember watching Michael Jordan, and I remember thinking to myself, "Oh, you know what? I want to be like Mike." And so I would get my basketball, and Dakota and I, little kids, we would be out there in the front yard dribbling our basketball. We didn't have pavement. We had dirt. And most of the time, grass and gravel and everything else, but pavement. And And so, you know how that is. You bounce the ball and it hits a rock and boom, it goes way over here and you have to go chasing after it. But I remember I would be out in the yard and I would be practicing because I wanted to be just like Michael Jordan. I wanted to be able to shoot like him. I wanted to be able to play like him. And I even found myself at times as I was dribbling and advancing toward the goal, I would imagine that I had this tough defender on me and I would let my tongue hang out. But then came a day, early on, about 2 years after I began watching basketball and studying Michael Jordan, my favorite basketball player announced his retirement. What a sad day that was. And I remember telling myself, well, it isn't worth watching now. Michael Jordan's quit. There's no one out there that is as good as Michael Jordan. But I remember they would say on television, but there is. There's this new up-and-coming basketball player. You know his name. And I thought, is this guy really as good as they say he is? Now, some of you aren't Kobe Bryant fans. But this guy fascinated me. I mean, you may not like his attitude, and you may not like, maybe sometimes he may come off as very arrogant. But I would watch this guy play basketball, and he just fascinated me. See, this was when I was much younger, and I would watch Kobe Bryant as he would just dribble the basketball, and he would go and he would dunk on 2, 3 defenders at a time, just go by them, and I would just study him, and I'd think, oh, wow, well, you know what, Michael Jordan's out of the picture, I want to be like Kobe. And I remember one of the signature moves that he had, it just fascinated me more than anything, as he would, and here, you can see it in this picture here, it's the fadeaway. He would create enough space between him and his defenders that he would pull back, and he would fade back, and it's a shot that, if perfected, is impossible to stop. Kevin shaking his head because he knows all about that. And I would think to myself, you know what? I want to be like Kobe. And I would go out in my lawn there in my front yard, and every day, whether it was raining, snowing, sleeting, whatever, hot, cold, I would be out there fading away. And I would even sometimes lean back. I would say, oh, Kobe. And it just fascinated me because I would even watch him and just on 2, 3 defenders at a time, the whole team would run at him and they would run to try to stop him. And he would fade back and he would let it go. And the buzzer would go, the Lakers win. And I would be in my, you should have saw me back in 09, 010 when the Lakers won the championship. In my living room, it was so loud. I was screaming and running around in my living room. I wanted to be like Kobe. I studied Michael. I studied Kobe. And every day, you can ask my brother, I would be out there fading away, practicing my shot. I poured in so many hours because I wanted to be like my, at that time, these heroes that I looked up to. The greatest basketball players ever to live. And some people would argue that. But these were my 2 favorite basketball players. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Yeah. LeBron only wished he was that good. But you know, I remember, even at a young age, the Holy Spirit was working on me. And I didn't understand that it was the Holy Spirit at that time. But as I got older, and as I got older, the voice became louder and louder and louder. You know what that voice is? Some people call it their conscience. No. It was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus telling me, yeah, Mike's good because I gave him that talent. Kobe's good because I allowed him to be that good. But Ryan, I don't want you to be like Mike, and I don't want you to be like Kobe. I want you to be like Jesus. And I learned that as I begin to open my Bible, as I begin to read the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I begin to pour my heart and my mind into the Bible, as much as I was pouring my heart and my mind and my sweat all into trying to learn to be like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, as I begin to pour my heart and mind into this Bible, I couldn't help but to come to the understanding that the more and more that I read His Word, the ultimate calling was that Jesus was calling me to be more like Him. And as we have spent so many hours together over the past month or so, as we've been studying the Bible, you can't help but open this word, even in the book of Daniel and Revelation and the prophetic writings, and all the way through the Bible, you can sense that there is a God that is calling His people to draw near to Him. And He's saying, look, I am the omniscient, I am the all-knowing, I am the all-powerful God, and I love you, and I want to make you more like me in character. And as I would see Jesus confront the Pharisees with such love and compassion, I would think to myself, God, why can't I be like that? I want to be like that. As I would see Jesus come to the poor and to the sick and the people that were in need, and I would think to myself, Lord, why can't I be like that? And the Holy Spirit would say, you can. You can. Spend more time with me. What does the Bible say? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. My friends, do you want to be more like Jesus? I can promise you the only way we're going to make it out of this world, and the only way we're going to make it into the kingdom of God, is if we become more like Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Having the mind of Christ. Because if you have the mind of Christ, then you become in character just like Christ. That's the gospel. A God that loves you just as you are, messed up, broken, cracked, whatever you want to call it. He wants to come and mend it. He wants to come and fix it. He created you for a purpose, and that is to represent Him and to be more like Him. That is love. God is love. You see, at a time when I wanted to think and I wanted to act and I wanted to be just like Michael or just like Kobe, that wasn't the purpose that God created me to be. God created us to think and act and be like Jesus. And many of us in here today, we know in our hearts and minds we're not there yet. We're not there yet. There's times even today that I'll say something or I'll do something and then I'll think to myself, whoa, where did that come from? That's not what Jesus would do. Lord, change me. I know that that selfishness will not make it into the kingdom of God. I know that that selfishness cannot exist in heaven. Change me, Lord. Make me more like Jesus. What did he say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's that word there? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, my friends, but that's what I desire. I've been traveling around for some time now, preaching the word. God has been using me and my wife and my brother and my family and Anna and all of us in such a mighty way. But still, over the past year, the Lord has been at me. He's been saying, Ryan, you're here, but I want you here. I want to use you for more, but I can't. Because I need you to be more like me before I take you here. You're not ready for here. Because you need to become more like me. And so that's why I've made the decision today. A calling on my heart that's been there for a while. God has said, you know what? Give it all to me. All of it. Even that little thing that you may think, it's not that big of a deal. Most people would consider it to be a small idea. A small thing. He's saying, I want that too. I want it all. But you know, my friends, in being like Jesus, we have to follow and walk as Jesus walked, as Jesus taught. And as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, as the Word of God tells us, then we also take on the work and the commission of Christ. You see, when Jesus left this world, he left a few people behind that had been walking with him, that he had taught, that he had been preparing. And anxiously looking and watching him leave, they look up and they say, "Oh no, our Jesus is leaving us. What are we going to do?" He says, "I'm going to tell you what you're going to do." He says, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go." Two letters. Go. Go what, Lord? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you just a few times a day, just a few times a week." He's with us always, he says, even to the end of the age. You know, I've talked to a few people in the last few weeks that says, "You know, Ryan, I just don't feel like, I'm just broken. I'm worthless. I don't feel like I'm fulfilling what God has created me to do. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like that I'm come to a point in my life where I don't know what to do now." But sometimes we have to remember the promises of Jesus. He says, "I want to make you more like me. But in becoming more like me, you have to do what I've asked you to do. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'll be with you always, wherever you go, even to the end." My friends, you're not alone. And as a body, as a people, as a church, as Christians, as followers and disciples of Christ, you may be saying today, "Yes, I want to be more like Jesus. Praise the Lord." But once you come to the conclusion that you want to be more like Jesus, we have to understand our purpose and why we are here in these last days. And that is that there's a work that needs to be finished. I can't do it by myself. Pastor Walter can't do it by himself. The elders of this church can't do it by themselves. The deacons, the deaconesses, the leadership of the church, we can't do it by ourselves. I once was told that the greatest blessing of all is when you serve others. Jesus was a servant. He lowered himself lower than you and I to serve us. And he's given us a commission. And that commission is very simple. Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which many of you are doing today. So what happens after you get out of that tank today? The water doesn't do anything. It's the indwelling Christ that does all the work. And if you stay connected to the vine, you'll be okay. But we have a work to complete. You see, you guys are sensing a new calling in your life, just like myself. You can never stop. You can never give up. Because you were destined, you were created for a purpose, and that is to finish the work, to become co-laborers with the Lord in preparing souls for the kingdom of God. How many laborers do we have here this morning? Now the evangelistic series is over with. What's going to happen now? Is it going to be like a firework? Boom! And then it goes out? What happens? What happens after the evangelistic series is over with? Do we go back to our complacency and our relaxation? We continue the work. We continue the work. It is your job as a created individual of Jesus Christ, bestowed upon you the commission to go make disciples of all nations. Do you understand that? Do we understand that as a people? That in being like Jesus, if we are going to think, act, and be like Jesus, we need to be like Jesus. And he said, My meat is to finish the work and to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. That was his goal. That was his purpose. And that is our purpose in these last days, to finish the work. Amen? It's the greatest work of all. The greatest work that could ever be bestowed upon a human mind or a human being. And it's the greatest work of all, and that is you and I, your job and my job, to take that great commission, to stand up and be brave and say, "You know what, Lord? You've been good to me. You've loved me. You've taken care of me. You've protected me. You have been there with me always. Now, Lord, it's time for me to return the favor. How many laborers do we have here this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My friends, it's the greatest work of all. And it's time to finish the work. The longer we're here, that means the work's not finished. Let's finish the work. The greatest work of all. The work of Jesus Christ. Amen? You guys ready to get in that cold water? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor? Ladies here? Men here? Let's do it.